Okay, so today's shir is going to be focused not really on the local sugya as much on the ukol, the larger picture of evidence in shas about the timing of knasos, right? When is the chiyuv knas going to be chal, right? And we're going to first start with the evidence in shas that works in line with Rabbi Akiva Eiger's mahalach. Right, first we're going to start with the different makaros that support the yisod of the second approach, that the chiyuv knas is generated by the gemar din. So the first place is the Mishnah in Ksubis, the malafon base. Anybody have a Mishnah in Ksubis? Or have the gemar in Ksubis with them? Akiva? So again, this is the context of pitui nara. Right, this go for it.
Nara should be the
right, so again, just starting off again, we're going to focus on the knas. Again, some people were asking about the mamon. Tosis on the spot asks why mamon is being treated like knas here. And they say, oh, my must be like a hekish between them. But again, we're going to focus on the knas. Right, so again, so the nara, pitoy nara. So minastam, if the pitoy took place when the girl was a nara, then the boshes pagam and the knas all go to her father. Now the key is, but Amda.
Before the father died, then it's
so again, if the Gemara Din was before the while the father's alive, then he's gonna get it like he should. Right? So then since the Gemara Din was when the father is alive, even if he dies afterwards, they're going to be Morish the Knas right to his sons. Oh, this is proof number one. But yeah, what is that saying?
If the father died before, then she gets it.
Exactly. So this is indication number one that the Gemar Din is the Mechayev, because here we're saying that even though the Maisa Pitoy took place when the father was alive, right? Still, it doesn't matter. You need to have the Gemar Din take place while he was alive, again indicating that the mechayev of the knas is the gemar din, and therefore it's only going to belong to the father if the gemar din was also while he was alive. Similarly, next line. Isn't it proof number two? Exactly. So again, another indication, even though the Maisa Pitoy was when she was a Nara, the din should therefore be based on the Maisa that should for sure go to the father. No, the Koveya is not the timing of the Maisa Pitoy. The Koveya is rather the timing of the Gemara Din. Therefore, if the Gemara Din took place when she was a Bogeres, then it's going to go to her. So again, this is Raya number one brought by the Rishonim, that the Koveya, the generator of the Chiyuv Knas, is the Gemara Din, and therefore the timing of everything when it comes to the knas for pitoy nara, everything's the koveya for everything is going to be the gemar din, not the maaseh itself. So that's raya number one brought by the rishonim, that you see that the knas is generated by the gemar din, not by the maaseh itself. Good. Raya number two comes from the Yerushalmi. So again, this Yerushalmi is on the Mar Makom Hashi. Let's read it together. Again, generally the Yerushalmi is very difficult to read without some aid, in the case of either a Pnei Moshe or a Karban Eida. So again, Pnei Moshe, functions as like a Rashi type, parish. So again, let's read Yerushalmi, again, with the help of, at least, having been helped by the Pnei Moshe. So again, the Yerushalmi here is not talking in terms of timing, like the Mishnah Ksubis. It's rather talking about what issue regarding Knossos? What? Yeah, that's the particular case, but what's the issue? Again, that's the case. Chiyah b'dei shamayim, right? The issue is whether there exists a chiyah b'dei shamayim to pay a knas in a case where they're not chayev, in beis din. So again, as we'll see, there's going to be a very big nafkamina between whether the maisa is mechayev the knas or whether beis din is mechayev the knas. So let's see the Yerushalmi. Yitzhak, you want to take a stab at it?
Sure. So the question is, can if someone's more than the knas, can we say to him that he should pay
in order to be yotzei b'yedei shamayim.
Exactly, and the context, as was mentioned, is the knas here is being meshacher an eved after you were, you know, took out one of his ivarim. So the question is, in the context where the adon took out one of the ivarim of the eved, so we know there's a chiyav, there's a knas to the meshacher of the eved. So the question is, but let's say there's no edom that witnessed this. It's Hodas Balden, right? You, the Adon was Modeh, that he knocked out an Aver of his Eved. So the question is, although Bezin is not going to Mechayev, the question is there a Chiyah B'dei Shemayim for the Adon to be Meshachar or his Eved? So what's the Gemara going to, let's see what the Yerushalmi says.
So Nishminim and Adon, we could learn from the following Maisa. So Maisa Birmingham of Liel, Shehifil Shein Tavi Avdo. So the Maisa Birmingham of Liel, who knocked out Tavi's So Asa Gavri Yerushua.
So two tissues over here. Huh? Exactly. So he knocked out Tevi's tooth.
Also go to Yeshua. So he went to Yeshua. Amalei, Tavi Adi, Matzasi Iwal Shacharav. I found an excuse to free my slave Tavi.
Yeah, so here, I didn't get into this, but there's a little counter pressure here, because if you're not chayev to be meshacher and eved, no. According to some, exactly, there's an isser of la'olam, isser asev, la'olam behed tavodu, there's an isser shichur if you don't have it. So he's like, oh, I finally, it's like, he wants to be meshacher as eved, but he says, oh, now I finally have an excuse. Because I knocked out his tooth, whatever happened there, right? Because I knocked out his tooth, I can finally be meshacher.
So I'm going to lace be a dachm.
No, you can't.
Right,
why? Why not? Why is there no chayev knas in this case? Because there are no edim. There's no psak bezin. It only comes from Yiro Daz Baldin. So therefore, we learn from here. Hadamra.
Hadamra. Shein omen lo tzei deshamayim. No chiyuv deshamayim by knas.
Exactly. So again, there's another indication that since the whole mechayev of the knas is the psak bezin, so therefore, when there are no edim and there's no psak bezin, there's not going to be a chiyuv at all. Exactly. So the Yerushalmi seems to agree that the generator, the mechayev of the knas, is the psak bezin. Therefore, without edim and you don't have the psak bezin, it's not even going to be a chiyav b'dei shemayim. Because if, however, as we'll see in another context, if, however, the chiyav was generated by the ma'isa, so then even though bezin can't be mechayev you, but at the end of the day, the ma'isa is mechayev you. So there would be a chiyav b'dei shemayim. The fact that there's no chiyav b'dei shemayim, even though you're admitting that the ma'isa took place, because again, coming out of here that the generator of the chiyav to begin with is the psak bezin, and therefore absent the psak bezin, because the case of hoda bli edim is not going to be a chiyav even midei shemayim. Yeah.
But why would he be potter if it was if it's chayav midei shemayim, right? So why would we say it's part of midei shemayim? Because wouldn't we say that if someone's b'chal Shabbos without edim, so we know that there has to be chayav midei shemayim.
It's totally different. That's the yisod, because there, in the context of most isurim, right, there the mechayev is the fact that is the chil Shabbos. Edom is just a way to hold you responsible.
Shouldn't the mechayev?
So that's like mamon. Mamon, the mechayev is the ma'isa. Edom, well, ivrish asadi al shak, right? The function of edom and bezin is just to hold a person accountable in case people lie. But in a case of kenas and afashas, as we'll see, according to what we're developing right now, it's not that the edom and the bezin are there to hold people accountable. No, they're the bezin generate the chil. And therefore, if there are no edim, there's no gemar din, there's no chiyuv to begin with. So it's as if it didn't happen.
Okay, so then I guess would this have to be a case of shogig?
No, doesn't matter. At the end of the day, if you don't have edim, you don't have a psak bezdin telling the adon that you're chayav a knas, there's no chiyuv at all.
So he can just knock out his eved's teeth as long as he wants?
Again, there might be other problems of, you know, inui eved, but I'm saying in terms of the knas, there's not going to be a chiyuv knas, even b'day shemayim, at all. Okay, good. So again, this is highlighting the idea we're going to see in Tosas in just a moment in the context of Kimlev Jerami.
You don't have to let him free unless you have Hasra.
I can't hear you.
You don't have to let him free unless you have Edom and Hasra.
Forget the Hasra part, but as long as you have Edom. As long as you need Edom and a Psak Bezin to generate the Chiyav Kenas. Absent that, even if it happened, there's no Chiyav whatsoever. Even B'dei Shemayim. Okay? So this is going to be parallel, this idea of there being a chiyav b'dei shemayim, even a bezin, you know, can't be mechayev you, comes up in the sugya. In which sugya? There's this notion come up where even a bezin can't be mechayev you, and the issue is whether there's going to still be a chiyav b'dei shemayim. What's the sugya? Kim Lev Dramine. Excellent time. We're in the context of Kim Lev Dramine. So this comes up, we'll get to Knossos in a moment, which is by way of background, in this famous Gemara about Metzia Tzadi Aleph Amin Aleph. Right, so there in the realm of Mamanos, is very important. Anybody have the Gemara about Mitzia? You got it? So the Gemara about Mitzia, Tzali Aleph, Amad Aleph, world famous Gemara for the purposes of Kimle. So there, right, what's the, you have it? Tan Rabbanan, Hachosim Espar?
Yeah, Tan Rabbanan, Hachosim Espar, the Dashba, Lokum Mishalim.
Right, so cases where you have someone else's animal, exactly, with rishus, either rent or she'ela, right, you have someone else's animal, and you are using it for disha purposes, but you muzzle the animal while doing it, so you're over the isra losachsom shor b'disha, which is chayav malchus, but there's also, says the Brayis, there's also chayav mamon, because you owe mamon to who? Exactly, right, you withheld, you know, mizonos, food from the animal. Therefore, you're chayav mamon to the bailam, right? To the owner of the animal. So the Gemara says, so the Braisa, I should say, in this case, lokim mishalin. So the Gemara is going to ask. Right? What is that a reference to? Exactly. Kim lei b'drahmineh. Exactly. For sure, you're right. That's the makor. Right? This is the notion of kim lei b'drahmineh. Just like we don't have misa and mamon, according to some shitos. Is he just coming up in Bikias? Are you guys doing this, I guess?
Came up.
Okay. Right? Similar, also by malchus and mamon, according to some shitos, as we'll see, this is p'tur of kim lei b'drahmineh. So the question is, why is there malchus and mamon? Shouldn't there be kim lei? So the first answer is... This is according to the one day who says there's no kimle by Malchus. Fine, that's not for our purposes. If our purposes is the following.
So Rava Amar, Etznan Asratura Vafilu Baalimo.
Okay, so a little inappropriate, but halachic standpoint, what's going on here? Etznan is payment to a zona. So a case where the zona is Imo. So there's both a Chiyav Misa, right, and a Chiyav Mamon, right, because Chiyav Misa for Baal Imo, and the Chiyav Mamon to give her the esnan. So you would say, oh, you think it's kimle, because the guy is chayiv misa, so you would think that he's pater from mamon, and therefore there wouldn't even be a shame esnan on the payment given, because since it's totally afka of the chayiv mamon, therefore when you give money, that would be considered a matana. That wouldn't be have a shame esnan. We say, no, it does have a shame esnan. So Rashi explains, why is there a shame esnan? What do you mean it's kimle b'drahmineh?
Because it's really chayiv b'dishamayim.
Exactly. So this is the Shita of Rava in Kimle. That Kimle is very important for Kimle. That Kimle Bedramine is not completely mafkia, the secondary or the lesser onesh / chiyav, in this case the mamon. It's not completely mafkia. It's just saying that Beis Din can't administer both onshin. So really you are chayav both onshin, quote unquote, and it's just that Beis Din can't administer, so therefore there is still a chiyav mamon bidei shemayim. Therefore, that's why there's a shame esnan on the tzle that's given. Let's carry over here. We're saying, when we say lokim mishalim, it's not saying that Beis Din can be, you know, give it malchus and forcibly collect. It's saying that no, the mishalim means it's a chiyav bidei shemayim. So here, again, what type of monetary chiyav is this? Exactly, this is dinei mamonos. So in the realm of dinei mamonos, you have this idea, there's a chiyav bidei shemayim, even though Beis Din can't collect. That makes a lot of sense, because the chiyav mamon is generated by what? Avidan, right? What generates, right, the chiyav mamon?
The ma'isa.
So since the ma'isa generated the chiyav, so therefore, even though Beis Din can't administer it, can't forcibly make you do that, there's still going to be a chiyav b'dei shemayim. That makes sense, a lot of sense, in the context of mamonos. Again, assuming this lamdos and kimle, you can have this context of mamonos of a chiyav b'dei shemayim without Beis Din being able to be mechayev you. The question we're going to see in a moment is this going to carry over to the realm of kenosos that comes up in Ksubis, Lama Gimel Beis, and then I'll take questions. Yeah, there.
But isn't there a Gemara in the third parak that's in Makos that says that by on it says by Misa and the Cheshbon was that by Misa and Malkos open up by Misa and Malkos by Misa and Malkos is a Misa Arechta. But by Mammon and Malchus, that's when Kamen B'drahmineh comes to play.
What's your question?
Meaning that seems to go against this. There it says by Essen Zona and the Misa, it's not Kamen B'drahmineh because one is Bidei Shemayim, one is Bidei Adam. But here it says, you see,
Rabbah is just holding I mean, the Shita's Rava. Not everyone agrees to Rava. Right. Rava Shita and Kimlei Vidramine is that, you know, as Mordechai said before, what's the Makor for Kimlei according to Rava? Exactly, Risha Achas. That's all Din and Bezdin. Mm-hmm. So according to Rava, Kimlei is a Din and Bezdin. It's, you know, it's not being Mafkiya the Chiv itself. It's just saying the Bezdin can't be administered. If according to Rava, this applies both for Misa and Mamun, and also Malkus and Mamun. This is Shita's Rava. So you
right,
can't
also,
compare this
to Tomo Shemes. But also, don't... Why is Bezdin going to be enforcing a chiyuv to pay of something that's usher?
Meaning, you're asking someone to put this out. Meaning, end of the day, meaning even though you know the zona was usher, at the end of the day, there was this little chiyuv mamon. Unless you have this kipli factor.
Does
the pasuk
say that it's usher
to pay? No, they're talking about being usher to bring as a korban.
Okay.
The isser of esnan is just in terms of you can't bring the animal which is given as payment of an esnan as a korban because it's like meat. That's a separate issue. Okay, so the question is, does this same idea of there being a chiyuv b'dei shamayim also carry, right, in the context of kimlei, also carry over to the realm of knas? So if you turn to the Gemara Ksubas Lama Gimel base, I don't have a Gemara Ksubas here. I guess we read, yeah. All right, you see that there's one line here. Again, we're not going to get too involved in the Shachar V'Tarya, right? It says it starts with the word lav. Four lines up, the last word in line is lav. Again, this is the context of knas. This is the context of where you do your tzvicha mechira, right, which is chayev knas, the dalad hay. In the case where you do the tzvicha, let's say on Shabbos, or l'shem of Avodah Zarah. So the tzvicha, the chi of knas, coincides to the chi of misa. So again, we're not getting into the Shachar V'Tarya, but the Gemara has this line that even though there's kimla bidrama minay, you're still chayev the knas. It's just that it's just Kim Levi-Draman and the basin can't collect it. That's the Pashup shot of the Gemara. And Rashi, very important, is going to interpret the Gemara Kapashas. Mordechai, you see the last Rashi?
I don't know.
Oh, sorry, who was just reading? What? Oh, sorry, all right. Yeah, see, Lav.
Oh.
He said, so Rashi, very important, we'll see, maybe Lishitaso. Rashi says, yeah, take the Gemara Kapashas. The Gemara by Knossos is just like the Gemara in Mamanos. The chiyuv ramya alei. The chiyuv knas still exists in the context of kimlei, even though it's just the basin can't be mechayev you. So what's coming out of Rashi is that even in the realm of knasos, right, you could have a chiyuv knas even though basin can't be mechayev you. What is that? What comes out of there? That what is the mechayev of knas according to Rashi? Seemingly, this sounds like the shas maisa. Perhaps Rashi l'shitaso to Makos. Because remember, Rashi in Makos doesn't adopt the Rekiv Eger. Again, we said maybe two Deos and Tosas, but Rashi, right, we agreed, at least mostly, right, that it's all based on Hafsid, it's all within the first approach. He ignores Rekiv Eger. Perhaps Rashi Lishitoso thinks that the Mechayev of Knas is also the Maisa, just like when it comes to Mamon, and therefore Rashi is going to say the same idea of having a Chiyah B'dei Shemayim in Mamon, right, absent the Mechayev of Bezin, same thing carries over to Chiyah of Knas. Because the mechayev of the knas is the ma'isa, not the bezin. But who on the daf is going to be very upset with this pashup on the Gemara? Tosos. So look at Tosos lav. All right, do you see it?
Yeah.
Oh. Ain't no chayev. So it says, don't learn the Gemara kapashas because you can't. Because there's no chiyah b'dei shemayim for knas. In this case, why? Right. Only by Mamon can you have this idea. Why about the Knas? This is the key. Exactly. So Tosos, again, it happens to be, this Tosos and Ksubas is quoted by that Rekiv Eger. Right? Rekiv Eger is being machalik between Mamon and Knas. He says, what's the riot to this? This Tosos, presumably that's why he says, oh, why isn't Tosos here? Just give the same game of thought. So this is a very big riot to this Yesod, that the only time, says Tosos, you can have Chiyah B'dei Shemayim without the Mechayev HaBezin is by Mamon. But by Knossos, where you need Bezin, where you need the Gemar Din of Bezin to generate the Chiyah, in the case of Kimlei, where Bezin can generate the Chiyah, because Kimlei says they can only Mechayev the more Chamer Onish, so therefore there's not even going to be a Chiyah B'dei Shemayim. So here you have, so for three Rayos, we've had the Mishnah in Ksubis, we've had the Yerushalmi in Shavuos, and then you have this Tosos in Ksubis, all supporting this Yisod, that the Mechayev of Chiyav Knas is the Gemar Din, and not the Maisa. and therefore that affects the timing in the Mishnah Ksubis, and that affects the Achi B'dei Shemayim in the context of the Yerushalmi and the Tosos. I pointed out, Agav, that Rashi seems to disagree, perhaps Lashitaso, to thinking that even by Kenosos, perhaps the Maisa itself is M'chayiv. And hopefully at the end of today's shiur, beginning of tomorrow's shiur, we'll get to a Rav Chanan, which is the last Makor in the Makor sheet, which is going to explain how can you understand that Kenosos, that the Maisa is Mechayev, if there's no Chiyah B'dei Shemayim, you know, to pay, you know, we'll get back. Fine. So Adkan is the evidence that supports this Yisod of the second Mahalach, that the generator of Chiyah Knas is the Gemara. Fine. Any questions before we... Okay, good. So now let's get to two potential counter-rias, or potential counter-evidence, right? Two Gemaros in Baba Kama. Anybody have a Gemara in Baba Kama? Two Gemaros in Baba Kama, which seem to be soser this Yisod, and seem to say that, no, the Shas Maisa is Mechayev the Knas, and therefore, and both are going to be in terms of timing, right? Both in terms of that the timing of the Chiyuv Knas is already at the Shas Maisa, and it doesn't wait until the timing of the Gemara Din. So the first Gemara is Baba Kama, Lama Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, so I don't want to get too involved, but at least outside, right? There's a case of Shor Tam. Anybody want to explain outside what's going on here? Yeah, go for it, Yitzhak.
Yeah. Shor is not going to be so it's his first or second time goring it, and it's worth one mana, it gores another Shor, which is worth 200.
Exactly, and the din is Chatzin Nezek.
Right.
So again, according to Rabbi Kiva, what's the din? Chatzin Nezek makes the, right, the Nizak, the person who was injured or damaged.
Nizak gets the Shor and the damage.
Exactly, becomes a Shutav in the Shor Hamazik. In this case, right, that was described in the Mishnah, where it's $100 or 100 mana versus 200 mana, ends up that the Nizak ends up being the full bialim of the Shor Hamazik, because in this case, right, half of the Shor Nizak is the full value of the Shor Hamazik. And the key for our purposes, and this is what the Rishonim are pointing out, that according to Rabbi Kiva, that he becomes a Shutav in the Shor Hamazik, when does he become a Shutav in the Shor Hamazik?
Second
example. Exactly, right? After the Maisa Hezek, Nafkamina for what din? What does the Gemara say? Ikibanayu. Exactly. The Nizak is Makdish between the time of the Nezek and the Gemara din. It's still going to be Chal. So again, according to what comes out, is according to Rabbi Kiva, right, the Knas, the Chatzi Nezek, is Chal right away after the Maisa, before the Gemara din, with the Nafkamina, it's going to be important, the Nafkamina of a Maisa Hektish. So again, that's one raya that's brought by Rishonim. Look, over there you see that the Chiyuv Knas of the Chatzi Nezek is Chal already at the Shas Maisa, even before the Gemara Din, as seen by the Nafkamina of a Hektish, of a Maisa Hektish, which takes place in between the Hezek and the Gemara Din. That is raya number one. The other Gemara is also complicated, is the Gemara Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. This also becomes important for the sugya of Hachasha Tzchilas Azama, which is a very yisodistic topic for the purposes of the relationship between Hachasha and Azama, which is our overall topic. So we're going to get back to that then. But in short, what comes out here, is that right? That this Adon does how many things to his Eved?
Yeah.
Two. Right? He knocks out his
teeth
and also eyes. Baruch Hashem, no eye issues yet. Right? So he has both Shane and class. Being a glass, I don't know. So we have both Hipil Shino and Hipil Eno. But what comes out of the Shach Vatar, we're not going to read it all inside now, is that, right, the timing matters a lot. Which one comes first? Why, Ellie? Do you remember why?
Because if you knock out his tooth, then that frees him. And then when you knock out his eye, then you hire to pay for his eye.
Exactly. The assumption of the Gemara is that whichever one comes first, that triggers the Shechur. And then whatever comes second, the other is going to pay full price for that because he's a free man that you just took out his whatever Aver came second. So the Mefarshim pointed out, wait a second. Most likely, in the cases of the Gemara, actually not most likely, the Gemara makes clear later on the Shach Vartaria that the Shichrur only takes place when? Not in between the Shein and the Ayin, but after both. So if you think that the Knas of Shichrur is only Chal at the Gemara Din, So then the shikhar takes place after both things happen, after both the heap of the shein and the ayin. Yet the Gemara seems to assume the shaka b'tayyab, that the timing matters because it's, we treated the shikhar as working l'mafreya already at the shas maisa. So the shas maisa is the first one, and already by the second one, the evid is meshuchar, and therefore there's a chiyuv to pay a full payment for shein or ayin, whichever one comes second. So those are two rayos, again from Baba, right, from the Shita of Rabbi Kiba in the case of Chatzi Nezek, being Chal B'Shas Maisa, and the case of Shichur. Also, both cases we see that the Kinas, be it Shichur or be Chatzi Nezek, is Chal B'Shas Maisa and not at the Gemara Din.
And that's the Shita's Rashi?
No.
Within the Gemara, I'm saying.
Am I in Gimel and Beis?
No. We're reading that the Shita's Rashi.
No. So now the question is, something like this. So the question has to be raised according to the second approach, right? Kivager, Bali tells us, everyone who holds of this idea, and a lot of evidence for this idea, that really by kenosos, that the Machayev is the Gemar Din. So the question is, how is that whole approach, how is all the evidence going to account for these two Gemaros, which seem to be exceptions, where you find that the Chiyuv Kenas is Chal not at Gemar Din, but rather Lemafreya back to the Shas Mais. Yeah.
But then, wouldn't this be contradicting Yerushalmi?
Yes. That's the question. The question is, these Gemaras contradict everything. Everything that we just said. Okay. The Mishnah Ksubis, the Yerushalmi, right, Tosos, and the Horu Kriyeger, the Gra, the Nitziv, everything, right? Everything is contradicted by these two Gemaras, and the question is, how are we going to account, is that whole second approach, all whatever we just spent time developing, how are they going to account for these two Gemaras? So anybody get to the Ritva in our circuit? Yes. So the Avidan, right? So the Ritva asks this kasha. And what do you, anybody have the Ritva? Do you have the Ritva? Okay. So he spends time, right? He says, "Oh, Pshan our Gemara is that right? It seems from our Gemara, right, that the timing of the Baruch Yuva by Kenas is the Gemara Din that implies that that's the timing, and therefore asks from these two Gemaras that we just said. So we just summarize the Ritva's kasha." See, towards the end of the Ritva, this Dira Maskel de Be'inna de Kamisadi, of Davrla Baruch Yuvahu. See, towards the end, it says Venira Li. Yeah, so let's see the Ritva's answer.
Venira Li. It appears to me, the Shani Hektesh Reshifer, the Habi Midi, the Zachavo Shmaya.
Very important.
So there are things that you're Zocha from Shmaya.
Okay, good. And therefore, basically, in short, these two cases are exceptions because they're categorized. Be Mazmer in a second, as Midi de Zachabo Shemayim, literally matters which you rezoche from Shemayim. Right, and what's the
thing? So
you're saying specifically when it comes to Midi de Zachabo Shemayim, so there we go Lemafreya to the Shas Maisa, Ki Ilu de Gmar Din, as if there was a Gmar Din B'Shas Maisa. But by every other case of Knas, which is considered a Midi Dehejo, we don't say this, and we say that the Machayev of the Knas is the Gemara Din. So the Ritva, in short, is answering. These two cases are exceptions because they're Midi Dezachav HaShemayim. So before...
It's how they categorized? They're categorized by how? By the fact that...
Yeah?
Dezachav HaShemayim?
Yeah, so he's saying because these are matters which are considered... Midi Zachav HaShemayim, we'll get to in a moment why both of them are. It seems like one is pashut than it is. The other one is not so simple. What?
Yeah, what makes them?
Exactly. So first we'll explain what the chilik is, and then we'll explain how it applies to those two cases. Can anybody give me a hesber? Why is it, by Midi Zachav HaShemayim, why it would go to Mafreya? And why it's not totally on the Gemara Din?
Because like things that happen in Shemayim, there's no like official psak to put down. So therefore, I guess, when would it happen? It would have to happen at that time. Because there'd be no other time. Like also the same thing, like, it says when it comes to makos and to getting makos and karis, so it says that maybe your makos could be your shua for your karis. But that's only because, since that's up to Hashem, so Hashem can just make that decision whenever he wants.
Okay, so the first part. So again, I think what Eitan's saying very well is the idea that Gmar Din shall be, right, is a basin shell, Mat, right? That's what we're talking about. So what I think what the Ritva is saying, exactly along the lines of what Eitan is saying, is that, right, the jurisdiction of the Gemar Din of Bezin Shalmata is only in Yanim Shal Hedjot. But Midi right, Midi, the Zachabo Shemayim, are not within the realm of the Gemar Din of Beis Din Shamata. And therefore, for Midi, the Zachabo Shemayim, they're not subject to the Gemar Din of our Beis Din. So, as I said before, so the Lashon of the Ritzvah is that it's as if there was a Gemar Din right away, meaning the Beis Din Shamala, right, doesn't need Edim. So that the Beis Din Shamala, you know, quote unquote, right, Paskins right away. So therefore, the Knas, which are in the realm of Shemayim, have the Gemar Din Shel Beis Din Shamala right away, and it's only Midi Dehejo, which are subject to the Beis Din Shamata, that their Gemar Din is Koveya, which happens later. Right, so in the end of the day, it seems to be a clean distinction that Knossos, which are in the realm of Hedjot, are subject to the Gemar Din of Beis Din Shamata. But Midi the Shemayim, those are subject to the, we'll call it the Gemar Din of Beis Din Shel Shemayim, which takes place basically Bishas Maisa. So the Ritz is saying, really fundamentally, everything we said was correct. By most cases, the Gemar Din is Koveya. But this is an exception of Midi Dizachah by Shemayim, that it's not based on Beis Din Shamata, it's rather based on Shas Maisa, because Shas Maisa is considered as if it's the Gemar Din of Beis Din Shamala. Yeah.
How do we figure out when something is Zuche?
Okay. Yeah, next point. Okay. So, but first, make sure everyone understands the chiluk, right? Do we understand the chiluk? Why it is that Midi Zachah b'Shamayim is different than Midi the Shamayim, Midi the Hedjot? The idea is because the Gemar Din, Beis Din Shel Hedjot is limited, Beis Din Shamata is limited to Midi the Hedjot, but Midi the Shamayim are not subject to our Beis Din. It's subject to Beis Din Shel Malo, if you will, and therefore, which is basically B'Shas Maisa. The next point Rameir is asking is that, okay, so what do we consider a Knas, which is Mugdar, as Midi Dizachah B'Shamayim? So which of the two cases, right, we had a case of Shechur, and a case of Hektish. Which one seems to be pretty Pasha that would be considered Shemayim?
Hektish.
Exactly, because all about the Bailus of Hektish, right, and there's a Gemara in Bava Kama, the famous Gemara, and the, you know, Tzvicha Mechira, that Hektish, being Matish, as if you're being Mocher L'Shamayim, right, Mali, L'Chir L'Hedja, Mali L'Chir L'Shamayim, this is Nayin Vav, right, Nayin Tes, whatever. So again, this idea of Hektish being a Midi to Shemayim makes a lot of sense, because you're transferring Bailus to Shemayim, to the base of Megdash. So to consider the case of Hektish to be in this category, a Midi to Shemayim, which is not within the jurisdiction of the Gemar Din of Beit HaShomata, is Mistaber. Yeah.
How are you considering that to be like a case of Hektish?
Because that's enough.
Because the short.
But it sounds like, according to the Ritz, it's only L'inyan the Nafkamina. That's what it sounds like. You're making a good Ara, right? It sounds like, according to the Ritzvah, we only say that it belongs to the Nizak, already B'Shas Maisa, L'inyan the Nafkamina of Hektish. Right? That's what it sounds like. I think you're 100%, I'm masking with the question, and I think it basically answers Einach Hanami. Right? I think that's the word, according to the Ritzvah, at least. Yeah.
What's the answer then?
For the nafkamina of Hektish and Shichrur, which are considered Midi Dezakabo Shemayim, we consider the Gemar Din to already be Mishas Maisa, because that the Gemar, the Koveya is the Gemar Din Shel Beis Din Shel Mal.
But if the Knas is only Bidei
Adam, people are saying that, but I think he's trying to say that the Knas, L'inyan Hektish, is going to be Chal earlier.
There's a class
of
the other and a class
of the I think that's what he's saying. I think he's saying perhaps different Nafkamina will have different timing. I think that's Pshat
there
as well. Because otherwise, Rabbi's question is very valid. At the end of the day, it's a Mazik and a Nizak. That's Hedjot. And he's saying Hektish, but at the end of the day, that's only one ramification of the Knas. So I think he's saying the timing of the Knas vis-a-vis Maisa Hektish, because the Gemara says Ike Banai, right? That's only Nafkamina that the Gemara gives. So I think he's explaining it. Yeah, in that nafkamina, that's when Rabbi Kiva thinks that the timing of the knas is going to be earlier. That's why I'm understanding. If you have an alternative, I'm open. Yeah.
Otherwise, if you're given any nafkamina bailus,
what?
Part of the reason why that can make sense is that otherwise the Gemara can give any nafkamina
bailus. I mean, mechira.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Exactly. The fact that the Gemara, according to the ritual, the fact that the Gemara specifically gives hektish, yeah, that'd be another riot to that. Exactly. Perhaps. Okay, so this is fill out the question, and then you're going to answer. But the question is, so Bishlama, right, Hektish. Hektish is all about the Bailus of Shemayim, Bailus of the Mikdash. But the Ritzvah doesn't stop there. The Ritzvah says the case of Shichrur, and presumably Who's the shichrur? Is that the adon needs to be meshachrur the eved? So why is shichrur considered midi dezachav hashemayim? Comes along with kiva. What?
It looks like a little cute. I mean, not just cute, but so it's a okay. Comparison.
Okay.
Everyone's like, as Mahalas says that. I mean, it depends on our posture towards Eved, Evadim in general.
Okay.
But everyone's like, Mahalas that says that proves that, like, Pidyon Shvuim has, like, a dim Kvach Nefesh. It's in the partial Kvach Nefesh because.
Shvuim, okay. It's a
joke. Yeah, for Shvuim. So I think you compare, meaning the reason.
Doesn't have a Kanani.
Right, I understand that. The reason for that is that, you know, any, like, if you're, you know, imposing, if you're, like, compromising someone's free will, then it overlaps into the realm of Kvach Nefesh.
Okay.
So it's an extension for sure. I mean, anytime we're in the parsha of Kvach Nefesh, then being, you know, relieving that situation is going to be depends on our posture towards.
Yeah.
If you say that, then anytime relieving that situation would be a zachah b'shamayim.
Okay, so. Interesting. Again, I think the chilek between a shavui, which is a Yisrael, and Eved Kanani is a big, but yeah.
What's the din of an Eved Kanani after he's freed?
Yisrael Gomer.
Is Yisrael Gomer? So isn't that a Yisrael Gomer question? Is whether this person is freed. Is now a question whether or not he's chayiv as an eved, or whether or not he's chayiv.
Eved is also chayiv, but not like an isha. But yeah. Right,
meaning it changes his halachic status totally.
Yeah, sure.
Whether or not he's free. That's a b'dishmai question.
Okay, so yeah.
I think that the reason that it might be b'dishmai is that the concept of taking a person which is owned by God and transferring it to ownership of people. Is a question of Bidei Shemayim. So returning that person, quote unquote, to the jurisdiction of Hashem is going to be a din Bidei Shemayim.
Oh, because, like, you know, Abadai, Lavadam. Okay, yes, I think an underlying, meaning, you guys are all saying, like, very interesting ideas. I think the underlying everything you guys are saying is that perhaps the Ritva holds that a Knas of Hedyot is when the Knas is basically just to, like, provide, like, restitution for what happens, right? Right? You did something wrong, so the knas is just to make up bin adam l'chavero between the two. So again, you can insert all the fancy things that were mentioned, but what I think what makes this shamayim is that to be meshachrer in eved based on being mapil one of the chav dalad evarim is not commensurate, right? It's not equal, right? The result of shichrur is not a natural. It's not a natural consequence for knocking out a tooth. Paying the value of a tooth is the natural, you know, consequence of knocking out a tooth. So what I'm trying to say is that simply what makes it a zacha b'shamayim is that shamayim, it's not so different from what you guys are saying, but just broader, is that whenever the kenas is clearly a gift, it's like a matana from shamayim. Because the consequence of being meshuchrar based on having one of your ivarim being knocked out is clearly not like a quid pro quo. It's not clearly a clear consequence of the action. Clearly, it's shemayim giving you this gift of shichr, giving you, the eved, this gift of shichr in response. And therefore, perhaps that's why it's considered a gift from shemayim and not just a mili bein hejotim, which is just more like a natural consequence. Yeah.
I thought that was the difference between knas and mammon. That mammon is your quid pro quo punishments, and then knas is anything additional.
So I guess now that we're saying that there are different types of knasos, right? One is a knas, which is clearly, a lot of times knas is also a deterrent, right? Yeah, I mean, right. Mammon is just making up exactly the hefse that you caused. You're right. Knas is more than that to provide some type of restitution. What I'm suggesting is that shichur is like way over, you know, way beyond even like a kefel or a dalad v'hei or a chatzi nezek. And it's clearly considered like a matana min shemayim. Meaning, I don't think you would consider a kefel like a matana min shemayim to the nignav. Right? Here, an eved who is stolen, who, it's like, you get like a matana min shemayim of shichur. Again, you can insert what you're saying, oh, now you're not no longer an Eved, now you're a free person, you can answer what you were saying, but I think what separates this type of knas, that's clearly a matana min shemayim. Suggestion.
Yeah, how does one draw that line?
That's a good question.
So,
yeah, I don't have that completely worked out. Yeah, I'm working backwards from the front of the ritual, honestly. Yeah.
Is the whole thing of
Zephyr
Mishraim, would that be telling him a focus about whether or not Hektish is
Moment Bailem,
Moment
Woe? Different types of Hektish. Perhaps.
If you say Moment Bailem, then how do you say Zephyr Mishraim?
What?
If you say it's Moment Bailem, then how do you say Zephyr Mishraim?
Yeah, so it does seem like, right, is maybe Chalukim, then Betek Abayas, Kashem Mizbech, like that Lamdas. So perhaps the Ritva is limited to a case of like, you know, not just Betek Abayas, which is considered Mamon Bailam. You're talking about like the Reb Chaim Torah? Is that your everything? Yeah, I mean, but to be Mechalik between different types of Hektish. I think that's the. Yeah, so, or you're talking about like the Machogas Tanayim, like Rebbe Yosef Glili, that. Yeah. Did we pass it that way? Yeah, I don't think we're passing that way. But basically, in short, it could. It could affect that, for sure. Yeah.
So, Elliot asked before how you draw the line. So, I'd say that he just to add on to Rebbe's answer, is that the difference is it's a matana, meaning I would think that I should be punished if I do something wrong, but why should he get rewarded?
Okay, so nice. You're saying any, you're very good. So any time the knas is focused on a punishment of the mazik, that's me to the head job. Very good.
But what? Answer hektish.
No. Hektish is clearly min shemayim because the bailim is the shemayim.
There are like a few reasons why.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, we're saying that hektish and shechar are considered min shemayim for different reasons. Yeah, it's hard. I mean, the reasoning of hektish presumably is because now it's the bailim of hektish. You can't carry that over to shechar. So presumably it's a different reason, suggesting a different reason. Yeah, Rafi.
Or whatever. But I said,
interesting. I mean, it's a multiplied Karen. Exactly. Yeah, multiplied Karen. You're saying here's a clearly totally different. Yeah, very different category. I like that. That's another good indication. But yeah, they're overlapping. Exactly. And totally overlapping. It could be, you know, what makes it. Meaning, that could be a simon to that. The fact that it's not a multiplication shows that it must be a matana. Exactly. Very good. Very good. Okay. So now let's moving forward. Okay. So again, gives brothers. Just make sure we get moving on. We'll take questions afterwards. So again, just keep everything organized. The question that we're dealing with is, how is the second Mahalach, right? All that evidence in Shas, which suggested that the Mechayiv of Kenas is the Gemara Din, how are they going to contend with these two Gemaras in Baba Kama, both the Indian the Shichrur and the Indian the Hektish, right? That seem to say that the timing of the Chayiv of Kenas is already Lamafreya to the Shas Maisa. So answer number one was given by the Ritzva, is that those serve as exceptions because they're midi dezacha b'shamayim, for reasons that we just gave, and midi dezacha b'shamayim are not within the jurisdiction of the Gemar Din of Beis Din Shalmata. Fine. So, now I'd like to present a fascinating answer suggested by Shiurei Rav Shmuel. Very fascinating answer. Not that these are necessarily exceptions, but we have to take a different perspective on what it means when we say that l'mafreya, we view the chiyuv knas and these two gemaras as being chal, right, l'mafreya. So here Rav Shmuel invokes a very important chiluk. And whenever you're talking about the realm of l'mafreya, right, there are two ways to look at l'mafreya. One he calls igloi milsa l'mafreya, which basically is saying that we go back in time and we rewrite the past. That although we didn't realize, you go ahead, most of them are friends. So let's say the Maisa, leave it vague. The Maisa happened on Sunday, and what's triggering the Lamafreya is on Wednesday. So the glory with most of them are friends, that although we happen not to have known until Wednesday, but the glory with most of them are friends, it was as if whatever it was always existed already from Sunday. So the glory with most of them are friends is about rewriting the past. That's one way of looking at Lamafreya. The other way of looking at Lamafreya, I don't know if he uses this terminology, but the way the Velt talks about it, is that the phrase, which seems like an oxymoron, which is, call it Mikanu Laba Lamafreya, which means it's not that we rewrite the past, but that Mikanu Laba, moving forward, we treat it as if it was always the case. But in real time, it was only chal starting on Wednesday. So again, option one, Igloi Moslem Afreya, is that technically we didn't know about it, but it was always chal l'mafreya, Igloi Moslem Afreya, we rewrite the past. Option number two, we call Mikanu Laba l'mafreya, is that we only view l'mafreya Mikanu Laba. That moving forward, we treat it as if this was always the case, but in real time, right? But in real time, it was only chal starting Mikan Ulaba. Just explain that after me, and then we'll get to questions. The commentary of Shmuel, the way he answers the questions is as follows. He says, no. In real time, even in these two cases of the Gemara, right, the Chiyav Knas was generated Mikan Ulaba starting with the Gemara Din. Right? Even in these cases, the Chiyav Knas was generated by the Gemara Din. Right? And it's only that Le'inyan, these dinim, right, of Hektish and Shichwer, where we're going to say the Le'inyan, these dinim, we're going to view it as if this is always the case. But in real time, it was the Chiyav Knas only was Chal on Wednesday at the Gemar Chiyav, at the Gemar Din. And therefore, says Rav Shmuel, that's Pshan Ar Gemar still. The Bar Chiyuva status, Le'inyan Zomim, right, for Knossos, is still only going to be chal at the Gemara Din. Oh, what do you mean? Sometimes we see it's working l'mafreya. No, it's a mikano l'abal l'mafreya. Because even l'gabe, these dinim, right, we still think that the Knas was generated not at the Shas Maisa, but rather at the Gemara Din. And this is very important. And the Koveya is very important. And the Koveya for Bar Chiyuva is real time. At the time that the Edim Zomim gave their edus, was there a chiyav knas already chal? And according to this Mekanel Abal Mafreya perspective, the only time that the chiyav knas was chal in real time is after the Gemara Din. Even though we say le'inyan these dinim, we treated it moving forward, we treat it as if it was l'mafreya le'inyan those nafkamina, but for dinim such as bar chiyuva for edim zomim, which is all about real time, the Koveya is going to be Gemara Din. Yes.
What would be, I guess, like another example of how does that practically manifest itself?
Okay, so we'll see in a moment, like Reb Chaim also has this idea of what we call the Mikanu Laba L'mafreya idea, and his Nafkamina, you know, really clarify it very well. So let's read the Reb Chaim inside together, and I think that will really help clarify this chiluk between dinim which are taloi on real time, and where we say no, it's only mikano laba, and dinim where we say that no, we'll treat it l'mafreya as if it always was the case.
Yeah. Should we give chavs to Gavron say that when you're rewriting time, when you're rewriting the person, that when it's mikano laba l'mafreya, you're rewriting the person that now he's a person who had a Gemara Din, who had a Chiyav Mishas Maisa. But yesterday he wasn't a person who had a Chiyav Mishas Maisa.
But whereas
if it's the Mafreya, you're rewriting time, and that in time he was Chiyav Mishas Maisa.
And you're b'mechan between the two perspectives on the Mafreya, the Gloy L'Milsa Mafreya,
yeah.
And Mekan L'Bal Mafreya?
That Gloy L'Milsa is rewriting time, whereas Mekan L'Hava Mafreya is rewriting the person.
Rewriting the... is that adding anything?
It makes it clear.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe it doesn't.
Yeah. So let's just see Reb Chaim. I think it's going to beautifully highlight, because it's like it's a hard concept to understand, but I think Reb Chaim is really going to flesh out this idea. So Reb Chaim, again, anyone raise your hand if you saw it? Okay, so we'll have you read. So Reb Chaim, again, is talking about the context of miyun. Right? Miyun is when it comes to a katana who is married off by her mother or brothers, right? And it only works in midrabanan, right? So in the context of right ishus kitana, right, or nisuim for a kitana, which is only midrabanan, is a concept of miyun, where she, when she refuses, right, it's not treated like that's the form of divorce. But although divorce only works in kana laba, miyun works l'mafreya. We say it's as if they're never married. Reb Chaim is going to point out that le'inyan certain dinim we treat miyun as going l'mafreya. But in other dinim, we treat it as only working in Mikanel Abba, and Reb Chaim is going to spell it out also, just to save some time. So Reb Chaim basically says that the dinim are as follows, that when it comes to her ability and his ability to marry krovim of each other. So that we view it lemafreya, as if they were never married to each other. Right? And therefore, since we view it as if they were never married to each other, lemafreya, therefore he can marry her krovim and she can marry her krovim, because as if they were never married. But the dinim, according to the Rambam, is that when they were married, right, any husband is zochet to the thing she finds, to her wages, ma'aseh yadayim, and to nedarim. And when it comes to those things, we don't find that lemafreya, let's say he has to return everything. That's what Rechaim is trying to explain. That Rechaim is trying to explain. Why is it that when it comes to the Isser Kurva, we say lemafreya as if they were never married, but when it comes to the, right, the mezot, right, ma'aseh yadayim, mitzia, nedarim, we don't say, oh, lemafreya, now they were never married, he has to return everything to her. We don't find that. So the question of Chaim is commenting on that. Why is it comes to certain dinim, it's lemafreya, and other dinim, it's mikanalabal. So you see Reb Chaim, let's say, five lines down. You see the period towards the end, it says, ubira davar nira.
Yeah.
So everyone follow along. You see Reb Chaim is going to spell out this idea of mikanalabal lemafreya, which is very important yisod in Lamdus, you know, as it pertains to this case. And Reb Shmuel is basically applying this to the realm of kenosis as well. Ubira davar nira, right? Go for it.
Ubira davar nira, devadai din hamiyun, who have ka al ikar hakidushin lemafreya. That the miyun completely, like, erases the fact that there ever was a kiddushin. Elad mi kol makom lomahania hav kas hamiyun leinyan shenima digam b'shaita kodim hamiyun lohay kiddushin chal nekayven va'as. But it does mean that the day before she was misan. The miyun happened.
Exactly, right? I mean, miyun, working lafair, it doesn't say that at the time that they were actually married, for let's say the year of marriage, that it didn't happen. It doesn't say that we view them as never being married, you know, rewriting history. Kiim
Rakdil Achar Hamiyun, Daininan La, Mikanal Haba, Kiilu, Uniskash Milam. It's just that we say that as though she was never married.
By moving forward, we treat it as if she was never married, but we don't go Lamafreya, Lamafreya. We don't go like Milsa Lamafreya. We don't actually go back in history and erase it. And now this explains the Nafkamino.
Since now the Mian, like, erased the fact
that moving forward, now, right, when the question is whether they can marry each other's krovim, moving forward we say, yeah, moving forward it's as if they were never married. Salkane, Shaper, he muteras bekrovav, who muter bekrovos that? Because moving forward, it's as if they were never married. Because moving forward, we treat it as if they were never married.
But anything that happened before the Mian, like the fact that he gets rights to her wages.
Right. Things that happened when they were actually married, like in real time, right? That he got her Maisa Yadeh, he was able to be made for her Nidarim, and he got her Mitzia. The things that happened in real time.
Since at that time
they were married.
The Mian wouldn't go back in time and change their status back in time. It just now changed their status.
Exactly. So this is the Reb Chaim, again, who develops this Yusoda we call Mikano Labala Mafreya, that moving forward we treat it as if it never happens, but we don't actually rewrite history. So Reb Shmuel, again, is carrying that over to here to say the same thing by Kenas. That really, even in these two cases, in real time, right, we view it that the generator of the Chi of Kenas is the Mada B'din. Right, Nafkamina for Yotzei B'Dei Shemayim, Kimle, etc. That and for Baruch Yuva, obviously, that the generator, the time that the Chi was actually generated was from the Gemara Din. It's just Le'inyan, right? Moving forward, Lemafreya, right? Le'inyan, they're going to affect dinim such as, right? Whether moving forward, you know, the Kiddush is going to be, the Hektish is going to be Chal, and Shechar, et cetera, we're going to view it as if it's Lemafreya. Yeah, quickly.
So isn't Mikhail about Lemafreya just basically just selectively Lemafreya? Like certain things apply to Lemafreya, but other things don't.
Yeah, but in this case. Yes, but it's basically, and the Koveya, be very precise, is what things that, meaning, what things depend on real time, and what things are more like halachic time. Meaning, the whole yisod of, let's say, the issue, let's say, Chi B'Dei Shemayim, is that when, what generated the Chi? what in real time, was it generated by the Maisa, or was it generated by the Gemar Din? That's a real time question. When was it generated? Because if it's generated by the Gemar Din, so then if there's no Gemar Din, right, you're not gonna have that chiyuv. And same thing by Bar Chiyuva, right? It's all about there is as I said yesterday. According to the Second Mahalach, the Koveh is all at the time that they gave their edus, was it edus sheker based on the totsah of the edus, right? When they gave their edus sheker, did they create, right? Were they attempting to create a chiyuv kenas which didn't exist, or did a chiyuv kenas already exist? That's very much real time. So, yes, it comes out that certain dinim are based on, right, you know, it's selectively l'mafreya, but the chiluk is based on, right, what things are based on real time, and what things are based, say, oh, moving forward, as long as in halachic time, right, we view it backwards, it's fine.
How is a nether in halachic times?
No, because according to Reb Chaim, those are nedarim that took place at the time. Right, things were like, oh, right now she's making a nether. Right now he got her Maisa Yadayim. Right, you know, earlier, it was like when they were married, things that happened then. Right? Let's say that for a client, the Isser Krovim is all about happening later.
Is this like, it's like a second timeline, basically?
In a way.
Okay.
In a way. So just quickly finish up. So one sheet in Rishonim, who is really not clear, right, how to understand, right, a breakdown is Tosas and Baba Kama. Just really quickly, right? Tosas Baba Kama, again, in the Sugya Lam Gimel, right, has this breakdown where he says, yeah, within Rabbi Akiva, the Kenas is Chal already B'Shas Maisa, but he says, even so, when is the Bar Chiyuva status Chal, according to Tosos? The Gemar Din. Tosos is fine with that breakdown, but doesn't explain, like, that's a stira. I mean, you know, Bar Chiyuva should be Talay on the timing of the Kenas. So the question is, how do you explain this, right? Which Mahalach is Tosfos in Baba Kama going within? Again, so in short, the Tosfos in Baba Kama has this breakdown where he says, yeah, in these cases, the Chiyuv Kenas, the Chatzi Nezek, is Chal B'Shas Maisa. But yet, even in that case of Chatzi Nezek, the Bar Chiyuva status is only Chal the Shas Gemar. So the question is, how do you explain that breakdown? Yeah, go for it. Do they? Now that's explaining why here the Knas is Chal earlier. That why this Knas is Chal Shas Maisa and other Knas are Chal later. It doesn't explain why is it that the Bar Chiyuva status is not totally on the timing of the Knas, seemingly. Right? So again, we'll just quickly end with two different explanations of Tosas. Either it goes within approach number one or approach number two. So one way to explain Tosos is that Tosos accepts approach number one, that the Koveya for Bar Chiyuva has nothing to do with the timing of the Shas Chiyuv. It has to do with the potential for Modeh B'Knas Pater. So one way to explain Tosos is that, yeah, in a Hanami, the timing of the Knas was Chal earlier, but yet the Bar Chiyuva status is not going to be Chal until Gemar Din, because up until Gemar Din, the Bailim, right, they can still have the potential of Modeh B'Knas Pater. And that's the way Rav Chanan and Kovet Shirim explains. He says, oh, right, the reason why Tosos L'Shitaso rejects Rav Kveger is because of these cases. These cases where the Chiyuv Knas is Chal earlier, yet the Bar Chiyuva is not Chal until Gemar Din. So according to Rav Chanan, right, this Tosos clearly is approach number one. That again, that the Koveya for Bar Chiyuva is when it becomes Vadai, not Safik, and up until Gemar Din, since there's a potential for Modeh B'Knas Pater, it's still Safik. So that's the way to explain Tosos within approach number one. But again, the other way to explain Tosos is that no, he holds that the Koveya is like approach number two, that it's the fundamental Shas Chiyuv. But what do you mean, isn't a Chal Mafreya? You can take the Mikan Labal Mafreya of Rav Shmuel, right, to say that no, because the idea is that really for the Bar Chiyuva, the Koveya is real time. And since in real time, the Chiyuv Kenas was only Chal at the Gemar Din, that is Koveya Bar Chiyuva. Because the Koveya for Bar Chiyuva is that in real time, when was the Chiyuv Kenas generated? Right? Oh, what do you mean the Kenas is Chal? That's just the Mikan Labal, the Mafreya. So again, ensure within this Tosas in Baba Kama, two ways to explain it, either within approach number one or approach number two, which makes sense because there are Barley Tosos would come out 2 days in our Tosos and Makos Afei on both sides of the equation. So tomorrow we'll pick up with the Rav Chanan going into the next Sugya. So I'll take any questions on the way up.
If we ever were to do a prayer, so wouldn't that mean that we would say